Turn, if you will, in your Bible this morning to Matthew, the 13th chapter. All these people I have around me make me look better. I tell you, and if you're not here on Wednesday night, you're missing a blessing. Brother Jay's got Wednesday night for us. And I tell you, he's going to do some good teaching. So you come on Wednesday night. We have close to 75 or 80 in here every Wednesday night. And the youth and the children, it's just something marvelous. And let me say, for the next 3 weeks, you better not miss a service. You're going to miss a blessing if you do. We've got choir singing next week, and the next week is Easter Sunday, and then the next week starts a revival with Brother Bob Pittman and Keith Wilkinson. If you haven't heard those two, boy, you need to be here. I tell you, it's going to be a great time. Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 33. Another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much today. God, it's so good that we can come into your house and, oh, just hear the praises sung to you. And Lord, we're so glad for the grace, the amazing grace. Lord, I thank you that you just bless us. And Lord, we ask now that your Holy Spirit once again open our hearts to your word, that you may speak to the point of our need. And God, will give you the praise, for it's in your precious name we ask these things. Amen. Now, this is a fairly easy parable to tell or story to tell. A woman had some leaven. Or you might want to say yeast, whatever. She hides it in some meal, just that simple. And it permeates the whole entire lump of dough till the whole thing begins to rise and spread. Now, someone said, "Preacher, you just read one verse. How do you make that last an hour?" Well, it's very easy. It takes a long time for dough to rise. So, we're going to watch this. All right, in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, in the Bible it says, "Know this also, that in the last days perilous times will come." In 2 Timothy 3:13 it says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Now, to understand this parable, you need to put it in the original setting. So let's just look at it and imagine you and I are in the crowd as Jesus tells this parable. He tells of a woman who hides leaven or yeast in the dough. Now, what would be our reactions? If you were a Jew in that day, you would be thinking, what a tricky thing to do to the people. Why in the world is she doing this? Why would she put leaven in the dough? Well, Jesus has told 3 parables here. He says, one, the wheat and the tares. You remember that parable? It's right before these two. Among the wheat, Jesus said, that was planted, someone came in and planted tares. And Jesus taught about this as false believers. He said, let them grow together. When the harvest comes, I will separate those wheat from the tares. And then he talks about the mustard seed that became a tree. And he's talking about the false church here in that parable. Now, Jesus tells the story about the leaven. And he teaches about the false teachings, how they get into a church. And then we saw in Timothy, he says, beware in the last days They will be people or preachers or preaching false things and doing false things and tickling our ears. We see a lot of that in our society today. So he tells this story about the leaven, and he teaches about the false teachings and how they get into the church. The tree represents organized religion and its outward display. But the yeast talks about the false teachings that are on the inside and decay our society, or decay our churches, or decay the Word of God. I want you to see the three elements in this story this morning. And so to do that, let's look at the bottom and go up. The first thing I want us to look at is the meal. The meal represents a communion in our worship meal. Three measures of meal. Meal is a word that explains what's going on. This woman is fixing to go to church. It reminds us of a communion in our worship. And when Jesus said, this woman takes the leaven and puts it in three measures of meal, what is she doing? Well, she's not going to a fellowship and making cookies with it. That's not what she's doing. If you go back into the Old Testament, the Jews who heard this story knew what she was doing. She was getting ready to go to church. She was getting ready to go to the temple to worship. And in the temple, there were some series of offerings that could be brought to the temple. One in the Old Testament was the meal offering. It was a communion that we could offer to God, and a fellowship in our worship. And the meal, well, meal is a fine, fine flour. It is even so fine, it's smooth. And if you look at meal, it's not only smooth, it's real close together when it lays there. It is a picture of God's people gathering to worship and have fellowship one with another. We come together, and that is what worship is all about, folks. Coming together as a church, coming together to worship God, to lift up His name. That's what worship is. Worship is coming together to have a fellowship of believers with one another, worshiping and glorifying our Father which is in heaven, giving Him the praise and the glory for everything in our life, everything that He does in our life. That's what worship is. Growing up, we had what we called old family gatherings. You remember that? We gathered together as family. Some of you still have family reunions where you gather together, and there at those family reunions, you renew old acquaintances with your relatives. You eat together, you fellowship together, and you have a grand old time. Well, a meal is a place of fellowship where you gather around the table you share together. Last Sunday night, we had a great fellowship here where we came and glorified God through the singing of songs and praises here. And then we went over into the administration building or fellowship hall, and we all had a time of eating and sharing, sitting around the tables and telling what God has done and is doing in your life. We had something in common together, and that's what they were doing. This is true when we come to church. Oh, this church is something else. I love this church. On Sunday morning, it's hard to get started, isn't it? Everybody's just talking. Everybody's fellowshipping. You're welcoming one another. You welcome our guests. You welcome our visitors. Now, if you're visiting with us, don't think that that's just, they're just shaking your hand because I told them to. No, they're really like that. This church shakes more hands. This church welcomes more people than any church I know of. Folks, when you come here, you're going to get your hands shook. If you don't want to shake hands, you better just bump fists, because otherwise, they're going to shake your hand. They're going to get to know you. That's the way a church, I believe, should be. As believers, we are many, but we're, the body says, one bread and one body. And we are partakers of that one bread. We're partakers in that family. And that's what she's doing. She's making a meal, and she's getting ready to go to church and pray and read scripture and sing praises. And that's what we do. We love to sing praises. The early church had a close communion. They had to. Folks, the old devil, the enemy's out there. They wanted something in common so they would gather and have a fellowship. I've got a son overseas, and they have what they call secret churches, and they gather together and worship God. And they have to gather together because in secrecy, because they're not allowed to worship in the freedom that we have here. But oh, they hold that time of worship and communion together as something very special. And that's what it is, folks. When we come together here, it is a very special time that we can come and worship God and let God lift our hearts up to pray and to praise His name. Oh, man, I just love it. I just get so full when I hear a song like that a while ago. I get so full when I hear a musician play those offertory specials. I just come just to love to hear that. And then I get so full when I see all of these little children come down to the front. Man, that's the life of the church. That's the future. And you young people, just keep having those children. Man, just keep on bringing them. I love to see little children. And I love to see them grow spiritually. Man, if you don't bring them to church and tell them about God's love, the world will lead them astray. So you've got a real responsibility to those children of yours. Get them in church. Now, the Bible says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. Now, like I said already, we have three times here, opportunities to worship. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And then there's prayer meetings we've been having at people's houses. Oh, let me tell you something. That is so wonderful that we can gather together just any time and start praising God. The Bible tells us it is important not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, because, hey, the last days are upon us, and it's going to be tough times in the future. And the darker the day, the more we need to come together in fellowship and encourage one another to keep on keeping on. We must do that. We must keep on preaching the word. We must keep on training our children up. Oh, let me tell you something. The old devil's there to discourage, but don't give up. I tell our new teachers, I say, listen, I don't care if just you and one person comes. Don't quit. Don't give up. Oh, if you don't give up, one day God's going to honor your efforts there, and people are going to start coming. This woman represents communion in worship, and she's getting the flower ready to take to the temple to worship. Now, in Leviticus 2, verse 4, if thou bring an offering of fine flour, mingled, baked in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes a fine flour mingled with oil. Now, first of all, it says fine flour. Second, it says mingled with oil. And third, no leaven. And Jesus fulfilled all of these offerings when he came for our life. Fine flour, even and smooth, I've already said, is a picture of our Lord and his personality. Think about it. He's the only perfect, balanced, I'd say, person that ever lived. Some of you think you're pretty well balanced, but no, you're not. I tell you, sometimes I think, man, I got this anger, I got this thing conquered or whatever, and oh, the old devil comes along and pushes a button, and we find out we're just not as perfect as we thought. But there's no flaw in Christ's personality. He was sinless. And then it says mingled with all. He did everything he did. How? In the power of the Holy Spirit. All, many times, represents the Holy Spirit. And he did everything he did in the power of the Holy Spirit. So let us claim the power of the Holy Spirit in our life today to serve God in that power. And when I prayed a while ago, I said, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, open up our hearts that we might understand this simple story in the Word of God. And then it said, no leaven. There was no sin in our Lord Jesus Christ. When you and I, we come to worship, we come to have communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're here today as that fine meal to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to praise him, to lift him up in everything that we do. And then we see the woman. Not only do we see the meal, we see the woman. Now, the woman, I say in the Bible, many times a woman is mentioned in the Bible in a good sense. In a good sense. In the New Testament, we are told that the church is like a woman, a lady, a marvelous, the Bible says, bride. And let me tell you, there's nothing prettier than a bride on her wedding day. I tell you, you know, that's the Bible speaks of the woman in a good sense there. But this woman speaks of confusion. Confusion in worship. And sometimes the woman is mentioned in a negative sense. We went through our Wednesday night study on Revelation, and in Revelation 17:5, it talks about a woman coming, sitting upon a scarlet-covered beast. And on her forehead was a name written, Mysterious Babylon the Great, the Mother of Harlots, the Abomination of the Earth. Now, Jesus talks about it here as this woman. He says this woman hides this leaven in a lump of dough. In other words, she's put good. And what she's done is no good. What she's done is wrong according to God's holy word. The Bible specifically says no leaven in these offerings. And yet, she knows that, and she puts it in there. Now, folks, let me tell you something. It speaks of confusion in our worship today. Let me tell you, Satan works just this way. Satan is very deliberate in what he wants to do, and what he wants to do is destroy God. He wants God to lose. He's just so dumb, he doesn't realize that he can't win. But yet he keeps on, and he keeps on doing everything he does deliberately to cause confusion in our worship and in our churches. You see, somebody said, I don't like to come to church because Satan's got a bunch of hypocrites up there in that church. And I want to say, where do you fit in? Where do you fit in? You're being just as big a hypocrite by saying you love God and not coming as those people that come, folks. But Satan puts hypocrites in the church, and Satan puts false teachings in the church, and Satan has a whole lot of tricks that he throws at the church to cause confusion in the worship of God's church. Oh, there's formalism. Let me tell you something. Somebody said, I don't want to go to First Baptist Church because they dress too dressy up there. Oh, don't worry about that. I'm just about as country as you can get. And I don't dress up and I don't dress down. I just like to dress for whatever God tells me to do on Sunday morning. You know, ritualism, oh. Let me tell you, that has killed many a church. And materialism, just like the woman putting the yeast in the meal, we let these things creep inside the church. Now, this woman is not only deliberate in what she's done, she is very deceptive in what she's done. She hid the yeast in the meal. And it's not supposed to be there. Some say this is a picture of the church, you know, sowing the seed in the gospel of the world, but that's not so. That's not what this parable is. Jesus doesn't hide his message. Jesus doesn't hide his message at all. He's always up front with everyone when he spoke. So today, the whole message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is not supposed to be hid, boy. The message of Jesus Christ is supposed to be heard. You see, God loves people. He loves people just as you are. And the basic truth of the gospel is every single one of us need forgiveness of sin. You know, we all sin, and we're all sinners. Some have just saved, and some are lost. Some have realized they have a Savior who died on the cross, and Christ is that Savior. And there is a purpose for our lives. For many years, I didn't understand what God's purpose for my life was. But one day, God showed me what the purpose of my life was. And when he shows you what the purpose of your life is, all you need to do is surrender to that and be in the center of his will. And oh, he blesses you in such a marvelous way. We don't hide the message of God. We are a culture today, a society today, where there's a war going on in our society. Satan wants to hide false doctrines in the church. Listen, before you go somewhere, before you join a church, you find out what that church believes, what that church teaches, what that preacher preaches. You see, when you come here, you ought to hear a message from the gospel, not something that just makes you feel good, but it ought to step on your toes. It ought to tell you about how hot hell is and how great heaven is. And if you're lost, you're going to go to a place called hell. Some people tell me, oh, preacher, you shouldn't preach on hell because, you know, that's a bad place. It's a bad place, and I don't want you to go there. Neither does the Lord want you to go there. Some churches today, they don't even believe in hell. That everybody one day is going to end up in heaven. That's just not what the Bible says. I wouldn't join a church like that on a bet. Man, you can't believe if you hear something like that, you back away from it. You get away from it. That's how the leaven gets in there. And the first thing you know, you got people believing anything and falling for everything. And that's what we've got in America today, folks. It just shocks me of some of the things that people say, oh, we're Christian, we believe in God, and yet we want to abort babies? No. No. That's not what the Bible teaches. Don't hide the message, and if the message is, it's a false doctrine in that church, get out of it. That's what the woman did. She hid that leaven in that dough. Then we see the leaven. It's corruption in our worship, folks. Leaven represents something evil. In 1 Corinthians 5, it says this. Sometimes it talks about a sin in a person's life. Verse 6 says, "Your glorifying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the things of leaven and malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Folks, sin is like leaven. It's in the lump of dough, and it spreads quietly into your life. It corrupts your life. As it grows, it begins to spread till one day you find out that your whole society or your whole life or your whole church is corrupted. You know what Jesus says? Deal with the sins in your life. Deal with those sins in your life. Deal with the sins. Now, sometimes leaven is used as a false teaching. Now, I want you to know Matthew 16, verse 6. Then Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." He's talking about false teachings, folks. That's what he's talking about. The leaven of the Pharisees was legalism. Oh, you had to have all these rules, and you had all these regulations, the do's and the don'ts. They were trying to just really kind of be good enough and work your way to heaven. That's not what the Bible teaches. The devil wants to sow legalism in a church and make faith a burden instead of a joy. My belief in Christ, my trust in Christ, is a joy. It's a joy to live the Christian life. And then the Pharisees sit in judgment. They're all critical. They find fault. Don't get it that way. People get fault, get mad. It's sad to see somebody get mad and leave a church over some silly little thing in life. And yet that's what we see so many times. Somebody said, "Preacher, I don't like the way they do things up there. I'm leaving and going somewhere else." You know, everywhere you go, you're going to find somebody that don't do what you want to do. You know, somebody said, "You know, things don't go my way, I'm going to find another church that will." I'll tell you what, you'll be moving all your life. You'll never grow in your spirituality because you're a babe. One day you need to settle down and learn what the Bible says. You know, we don't get our way all the time. That's just like a baby. You know, a little baby gets mad because they don't get the toy they want, and they throw a fit. You see? Now, and when you get adult, that's not funny, is it? You're still throwing temper tantrums as an adult. "I don't get my way. I'm going to find something else. I'm going to leave." You haven't grown very much, have you? You know what? I don't get my way. I don't get my way all the time. There's a lot of things that are done that, you know, I didn't want to do. But I'm not going to get mad at God. I'm not going to get mad at His church. It's His church. I'm just going to keep on praying and keep on loving and go along. Now, when it comes to picking out the color of carpet or the books or singing a song, you know, it's not going to get mad over that. But if it changes the doctrine of God, that's when I better start looking for another church. You see? Now, the Sadducees' leaven was liberalism. They took away from the scripture. Boy, I tell you what, you better read over there in the last part of that Revelation, Brother Perry taught us tonight. You change the scripture, and you're doomed. And there's a lot of religions out there that don't believe in the inerrancy of the Bible. They don't believe in the virgin birth. They don't believe in the shed blood. They don't believe in the return of Christ. You better watch what you get into. Watch what you believe. Listen, if we're not careful, we let the leaven enter into the fellowship. And soon we have a group that says, what can the church do for me? Instead of what can I do for God? This church is to glorify God. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's what can we do for God? Listen, if we're not careful, we let the leaven enter the whole fellowship. It's not about getting. It's about giving. It's about giving to God. It's about glorifying His name. The whole matter of church and the Christian faith is not a matter of what you can get, but what you can give to God. I believe God's got a purpose for every single one of you that He's called. He's called for a purpose. Now you need to find out what that purpose is and say, what can I give to God? What can I do for God? Not being served, but serving. You know the best way to end your blues is to do something for somebody else. I hear people all the time, they're sitting home, they're griping, oh, you know, the church don't do this, the church don't do that for me. I never got no visit here, and I never got a visit there. It's because you don't ever visit yourself. Why don't you get up out of your chair and go see somebody that's shut in? Go to the hospital. It'll make you feel good. Alive, you see. Do something for somebody else. Purge out the old leaven and become what God wants you to be. Now, that's a simple story, isn't it? The meal, corruption in worship. The woman, confusion in worship. And the leaven, corruption in worship. Now, where do you fit in? Where do you fit in that story? If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're on the outside. You're lost. You need to come and trust Him as your Lord and Savior, to enter in that relationship with Him. It's simple to do. All you have to do is, by faith, believe that Christ died for your sins, that you are a sinner and you need forgiveness. He's a Savior. He said, if any man come to me, I will save him. All you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord and be saved, and come and let people know, I want to repent from my old life. I want to turn my life over to Christ. I want to live for Him. I want to work for Him. I want to do for Him. If you're a Christian, you're saved, and you haven't been doing what you're supposed to be doing, you haven't been praying, you haven't been truly worshiping God, folks, it's time to get right with God. It's time to have revival in our life. It's time to make a decision. We're going to serve God wholeheartedly. I'm not going to be a complainer. I'm not going to be a gossiper. And folks, we don't have that in this church, you know. I'm just telling you, that's what's in a lot of churches, you know. I'm not going to do those things. I want revival in my life. Maybe you're looking for a church home. I would love to have you here, but only if God leads you. If God's not leading, then you'll be in the wrong place, and, you know, it won't do any good. But if God's speaking to your heart and you're searching for a church home, You won't find a better church home than this one right here. I'd welcome you to come. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the story of the leaven. And Lord, I pray today that our hearts have been opened to it. And Lord, if we're here this morning and we're lost, oh Lord, may the power of the Holy Spirit move in our life that we will come and simply trust you by faith, realizing we don't have anything to give you, just our life, serving you by faith. It's by the grace of God, not of works. Heavenly Father, if we're here and we need to get our lives right for revival, Lord, may we come to the altar and just say, Lord, I want my life right. I want to be revived. And mean that with all my heart. And Lord, if there's someone here looking for a church home, and this is the place you've led them, may they come today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.